Welcome to Footballytics and our automatically AI-generated short podcasts based on our data analytics articles. We support clubs, coaches, agencies and players with analysis and consulting services to use and interpret data to make better decisions in scouting, in match analysis and on the pitch.
With the numbers, data and strategy, bro, we see the game in a brand new light. A pass, a run, a shot on goal. Data brings strengths to make teams whole. Through analysis, insights appear, showing where the team draws near. In this game of numbers and might, football becomes a science of sight.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. You know, when you talk about innovation, it's easy to picture some lone genius inventing something completely new.
Right, the classic light bulb moment.
Exactly. But we're digging into a broader idea today, especially how innovation really shakes things up in professional football.
Yeah, based on our sources, it's more about introducing something new. It could be a product, a service, a process, even a tactical tweak on the pitch.
Something that actually makes things significantly better than before.
Precisely. And crucially, it gets successfully applied. It's not just an idea. It's an idea put into practice that works.
Okay. And for our listeners, you know, you want to get up to speed on complex topics quickly, get a real solid understanding without feeling bogged down. That's what this deep dive is for.
Exactly. We're aiming to unpack the different shades of innovation, see how they crop up in football tactics and strategy, all drawing from this really insightful tactical analyst's perspective we've got.
So our mission today, let's break down these types of innovation. Where do the ideas come from? Why is it so valuable, especially in football? What gets in the way?
And maybe some best practices too, how to actually encourage it.
Yes. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And our source material blends that sort of business innovation thinking with the nitty-gritty of football tactics, which I think is a really cool angle.
It is. It connects the dots in an interesting way.
Okay. So to kick us off, what are these different flavors, these different types of innovation we need to know about?
Right. So the source lays out four main types, and it's helpful because innovation isn't just one thing, you know.
Well,
the first, and honestly the most common, is what they call simple improvement. Making things better.
Like refining what you already do.
Exactly. Making existing stuff more efficient, more precise, more stable, more effective. It happens within the structures you already have. It's that constant tweaking.
The small gains that add up.
Right.
Like refining set pieces or something.
A perfect example. It's the bread and butter of progress, really.
Okay, makes sense. That's the everyday stuff. What's the next step up?
The second type is alternative interpretation. This is about making things different.
Different hell.
It means changing the approach, looking at familiar concepts, but from a new angle, or maybe creatively adapting them for new challenges, or just to get a bigger impact.
So not totally new, but a fresh take.
Exactly. Like taking a standard formation, but maybe using players in unexpected ways to create a different dynamic. You're using known elements differently.
Okay, I get that. Reinterpreting the familiar. What's the third type?
Third is Neuschöpfung, which basically means making new things. This is where you get genuinely novel creations.
Oh, the really new stuff.
Yeah, things that just didn't exist before in that form. They open up completely fresh perspectives, totally new ways of doing things. But the source makes it clear this is much, much rarer.
Right. That's the kind of thing that really catches the eye, the breakthrough moments. And the last category.
The last one is disruption. The source calls it terra nova, like new land.
Okay, sounds dramatic.
It is. This is the really big one. Doesn't happen often, maybe every few decades, but it completely reshapes the landscape. Think like the Nokia example they mention in business.
Right, fundamentally changing the game.
Exactly. Disruptive innovations break completely with what came before. They replace existing systems, existing structures with fundamentally new solutions. They can transform everything, even power dynamics.
Wow. Okay, so from tiny tweaks to massive shifts, that's a really useful framework. So where do these innovations, big or small, actually come from? Is it just luck? Random chance?
No, definitely not just luck. The source really stresses that innovation follows principles. It's not random. A really key part is being willing to question how things are currently done.
Challenging the status quo.
Yeah, and being genuinely open to new ways of seeing things. There's that great Marcel Proust quote the source uses. The real voyage of discovery consists not in seeking new landscapes, but in having new eyes.
I love that. seeing the familiar differently.
Right.
It's so true. It's often about perspective. And another crucial point they make is that innovation is hardly ever a solo act.
Not the lone genius myth.
Not usually, no. It's more like a river fed by many ideas. It's often collaborative, different inputs coming together.
Like Einstein, right? He built on others' work.
Exactly. He was brilliant at synthesizing existing ideas in a revolutionary way. So it's about questioning, collaborating, building on what's already out there. That seems to be the recipe.
Okay, that interplay makes sense. Which leads us to these Denkfig der Innovation, the thinking paths. What are they?
Yeah, the source outlines four interesting ways of thinking that can lead to innovation. First is adaptation.
Like adapting something that works elsewhere.
Sort of. It's taking something familiar and putting it in a new light, a new context. The analogy is like a musician reinterpreting an old song. The basic tune is there, but it feels fresh.
Okay, like taking a tactic from one league and tweaking it for another.
Precisely. You adapt it. The second path is deduction.
More logical.
Yeah, very much so. Going from the big picture, the general principle, down to the specific details. Like an architect creating a detailed house plan from an initial concept. Systematic.
Top down, like a coach designing specific drills based on their overall philosophy.
Perfect example. Then the third path is induction.
The opposite, bottom up.
Kind of. It's about seeing a pattern in the chaos. Observing lots of specific things, watching games, comparing data until you understand the underlying trend, making sense of disorder.
Like a scout spotting a new attacking pattern emerging across several teams.
Exactly that, piecing it together. And the last one is abduction.
Abduction. Sounds a bit strange.
It's maybe the most creative leap. It's a shortcut into the unknown. An idea that might sound crazy at first.
An intuitive jump.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't necessarily follow logically, but it could be groundbreaking. That what if moment that leads somewhere totally unexpected.
Okay, those are fascinating ways to think about generating ideas. But the source also says it's not just thinking, right? It's about doing.
Absolutely. Big emphasis on that. Ideas arise through movement. You often get the best ideas by trying things out, experimenting, not just sitting and thinking.
Which brings us to the Post-it note story.
Ah, yes. A perfect illustration.
Remind us quickly. It's such a good one.
So Spencer Silver at 3M, trying to make a super strong glue, accidentally makes a really weak one. Sticks, but peels off easily.
A failure, basically.
Seen that way for years. Then Art Fry, another 3M guy, sings in a choir, gets annoyed, his bookmarks fall out of his hymn book, remembers the weak glue.
And thinks, hey, maybe that failed glue could work for bookmarks.
Exactly. Reusable bookmarks. And bam, the Post-it note is born. Accidental discovery meets a real need.
It really highlights that Pasteur quote, doesn't it? Chance favors only the prepared mind.
Mm.
Fry was prepared because he had a problem.
Precisely. He saw the potential. Okay, so let's connect this to the bigger picture. Why is innovation so crucial, especially in business? And how does that translate to football?
Yeah, let's make that link. Why does it matter so much?
Well, in business, it's pretty fundamental, right? It drives progress, keeps companies competitive. New ideas solve problems, meet needs people didn't even know they had.
Gives you an edge.
A huge edge. And the source draws a really direct line to football here. They contrast this idea of industry fussball with the need for innovation for real, sustained success.
Industry fussball. Tell me more about that term. It sounds negative.
It is used a bit critically. It points to football becoming maybe too standardized, too predictable, lacking creativity.
Like everyone playing the same way?
Kind of. Relying on similar principles, similar training methods, often coming out of a sort of uniform coaching education system.
So coaching badges guarantee a certain level, but not necessarily originality.
That's the idea. Real innovation, the source argues, comes from thinking beyond the textbook, developing your own unique ideas. As they say, when everything is the same, the difference counts.
That makes total sense. Finding that unique edge is key when margins are so tight.
Absolutely. Teams that spot and implement new ideas early get a massive advantage.
But football's also famously unpredictable, right? There's so much luck involved. How does innovation fit with that randomness?
That's a really key point. Yes, there's definitely variance. Luck plays a part. The source estimates maybe 20-30% in a single game.
Mm-hmm.
But the best teams, the consistently successful ones, work hard to minimize the impact of that luck.
Oh.
Through things like dominating the ball, yes, but crucially, through having a superior tactical structure. A well-thought-out, innovative structure provides a more stable base than just relying on individual player form, which can fluctuate.
So the system provides consistency.
Exactly. It gives players orientation, clear expectations, builds trust, provides security. It reduces the role of chance over the long haul.
Okay, so a strong, innovative tactical framework buffers against randomness. Now, you mentioned earlier that the value of these innovations is often underestimated. Why is that?
Yeah, the source suggests their long-term impact is often bigger than people realize at first. Sometimes new things just go unnoticed because people aren't looking for them or they can't quite explain what they're seeing.
It takes time to register.
Definitely. And even once something is noticed, getting it widely adopted is a whole other process. Recognition, understanding, getting key people on board, documenting it, putting it in the coaching manuals, training coaches. It takes time.
Long pipeline.
A very long one. The analyst actually mentions identifying trends more than 10 years ago that still aren't fully mainstream today.
Wow, that really shows the lag. So what are the main things holding innovation back in professional football? What are the big challenges?
Well, several key ones come up. First is just the rarity of true reinvention.
Meaning truly original ideas are hard to come by.
Yeah, groundbreaking originality is rare. Most innovation is actually improving on stuff or cleverly reinterpreting existing ideas, which is fine, often very effective.
So key is spotting those reinterpretations early.
Exactly. Recognizing and interpreting those emerging patterns quickly. There's a great quote, "Copied and well implemented is better than well invented and poorly implemented."
A good interpreter is superior to a bad creator. Being a smart follower or adapter can be more valuable than being a flawed inventor.
So effective implementation is just as important, maybe more so. What's another barrier?
A huge one is simply lack of time. Coaches are just slammed. Matches, analysis, prep, media, managing the squad, the constant pressure for results.
Leaves no headspace for deep thinking or experimenting.
Very little. The source points out the irony should coaches only innovate when they're between jobs. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, that pressure cooker environment doesn't sound ideal for creativity.
Not at all. And that leads straight into the next challenge. Short-term thinking and risk aversion.
Fear of failure.
Absolutely. The stakes are so high. Managers, coaches, they often feel forced to avoid uncertainty, avoid trying new things because a couple bad results and your job is on the line.
So playing it safe often wins out over potential long-term gains from innovation.
It often does. It's a tough balancing act.
What's the last big challenge mentioned?
It's called the solution paradox. This is interesting. It's when a new idea works and then suddenly it seems completely obvious in hindsight.
Right. Why didn't we think of that before?
Exactly. It makes it hard to appreciate how non-obvious it was before it succeeded. And to help deal with these complexities, the source brings up the Cynefin framework.
Cynefin. How does that help?
It's a model to help figure out what kind of situation you're in. Simple, complicated, complex, chaotic. Because different situations need different ways of thinking and acting. You can't just use one approach for everything.
Okay, that sounds like a really practical tool for decision making in complex environments like football. Now, the analyst behind this material has a really interesting background, right? Player, coach, business innovation.
Yeah, really diverse. 25 years playing, 12 coaching, over 10 in business innovation, plus tactical analysis in a top league. And they use design thinking concepts, too.
So they've seen it from all sides.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about their practical experience implementing new tactical ideas.
Well, they had this great 4-year stint working closely as an external analyst with one head coach, a real laboratory.
What kind of stuff were they trying?
Some really novel things for the time, things like inverting wingers, deliberately overloading flanks in attack, using inverted fullbacks in midfield, and asynchronous back four.
Asynchronous, meaning not a flat line.
Yeah, shifting dynamically. Also systematic underlaps, diagonal runs, specific types of cutbacks. Quite a list.
That sounds really advanced for back then.
It was. And they actually had to invent their own terms for some of it because there wasn't standard language, things like block, Dreiser Doc 3/4 for a situational back three, Angrus block for the attacking overload, loads of them.
And now those ideas are more common.
Many of them are, yeah. Which just shows how things evolve.
Fascinating. It really illustrates how ideas spread.
It does. And there's that great Ralph Rangnick story they mention playing Lobanovsky's Dynamo Kyiv and feeling like they had extra players on the pitch.
Because the system was so effective and maybe confusing?
Exactly. It highlights the impact of a novel, well-drilled system. And the source really stresses how vital that trusting relationship with the coach was. The coach had to be willing to take risks.
That partnership seems absolutely key. You need buy-in from the top.
Couldn't do it without it. They give an example. The Angriff's block prototype from 2011, deliberately overloading one side.
Why? What was the goal?
Several things. Better counter-pressing if you lose the ball there, numerical superiority to win it back quickly, and also limiting the opponent's ability to switch play easily. The guiding idea was, the art is to be prepared for the loss of the ball. Proactive thinking.
That's really insightful. Planning for the turnover. But getting players to actually do these new things must have been tough. Especially if it goes against their instincts.
Oh, definitely. A huge challenge. You're asking players to break habits ingrained over years. Things that make sense tactically might feel weird or unnatural at first.
So how do they manage that?
A lot of explanation, obviously, but also crucial emotional support. Guiding players through that uncertainty. And they develop these clear guiding principles to help.
Like what?
Things like, whoever is evenly distributed everywhere is everywhere and nowhere. To stress focus positioning, or we don't shift when we can, but when we want to, encouraging proactive movement.
Those sound like really useful mental anchors for the players.
They were meant to be clear, concise. The whole approach was very system-oriented. Everything's connected. Focus on structural improvements for the whole team. They also used Charta's visual diagrams to make concepts clearer.
Visual aids help.
Big time. And they had this systematic attacking strategy, dividing the pitch into zones. Combination zone out wide, assist zone for the key pass, finishing zone near goal.
And the idea was?
Don't just rush into the crowded finishing zone. Conquer the assist zones first. Supported by tactics like overloading, underlaps, the far side fullback coming inside. Very layered.
It sounds incredibly detailed and well thought out. Okay. Let's shift gears slightly. Tell us about Footballytics, their more recent venture. What sparked that?
Right, Footballytics. Founded in 2021 with a colleague who's now a sporting director. It basically came from their shared passion for both football and data.
Combining that deep football knowledge with analytics.
Exactly. They strongly believe you need that football understanding to make data analysis truly meaningful in this sport. The initial idea was just to explore data's potential during the quiet period of the pandemic.
And it grew from there.
It really took off. They divided tasks, learned a ton of new skills, data acquisition, websites, SEO, analytics tools, handling big data, maths models, algorithms, Python programming, data storytelling.
Wow, quite the learning curve.
Huge. Lots of experimenting with different software, eventually developing their own algorithms, and pretty quickly, they became a go-to source in the German-speaking world for club-specific data analysis. Over 100 articles published.
That's impressive growth. What are they doing now?
They're developing custom algorithms for pro clubs worldwide, helping them find that moneyball edge in scouting and match analysis using the club's own data.
So mostly external consulting.
Yeah, they see a real need there because in-house analysts are often swamped. They also have this great network of scouts and analysts they exchange ideas with constantly. It keeps things fresh.
It sounds like a really smart niche they've built.
It seems so.
Yeah.
And they push back against the idea that data kills the beauty of football. They argue it actually deepens your appreciation when you understand it better.
I can see that. A deeper understanding often leads to more appreciation. So, drawing all this together, what are the key best practices for clubs that genuinely want to foster innovation?
Okay, several concrete things. First, establish trend scouting and pattern recognition. You need a system just to notice what's new. For busy coaches, maybe delegate this.
Have someone whose job it is to look out for new stuff.
Exactly. Second, establish a dedicated innovation system. This is really interesting. Inspired by Kahneman's Thinking Fast and Slow.
Two systems.
Yeah. One system for exploitation, continuously improving the day-to-day stuff, optimizing what you have, and a separate system for exploration, looking for the next big thing, the future solutions.
Because they need different approaches.
Totally different. Different timelines, goals, risk levels, even different types of people and mindsets. You need both to win today and shape tomorrow.
That dual approach makes a lot of sense. What else?
Third, club mandate for playing philosophy. The club should set the overall style guide, ensure continuity. The coach implements and develops it, but the core identity remains stable even if coaches change.
Avoids constant upheaval.
Right. Fourth, securing trainer know-how. Don't let valuable knowledge walk out the door when coaches leave. Systematically manage that knowledge. Maybe have a dedicated internal assistant focused on continuity.
Build internal capacity. Good point.
Fifth, external mentoring and exchange. Bring in outside eyes experts, scientists to challenge assumptions, bring new ideas, offer independent views.
Avoid groupthink.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And finally, apply proven innovation methods and tools. Innovation isn't just random magic. There are structured processes, design thinking, etc., that can help make it happen more effectively.
So structure and process actually help creativity in this context?
They can, definitely. Provide a framework.
Okay, that's a great list of practices. But there's also a point about leadership, about forcing innovation.
Yes, the manager's dilemma. You can't force innovation.
Why not?
Because real creativity needs the right environment. Trust, safety, no fear of punishment if an experiment doesn't work out. Too much pressure, power games, ambition, that can kill it.
So it comes from freedom.
Freedom and intrinsic motivation. People innovate because they're passionate, curious, courageous, because they enjoy it, maybe even love it, not because they're ordered to.
That's a crucial point for any leader. You create the conditions, you don't just demand the outcome.
Okay.
And the source mentions their own consulting in this area.
Briefly, yeah. Offering services that combine that deep tactical knowledge with these innovation methods like design thinking, systems thinking. For clubs looking for that edge, whether it's improving current tactics or finding something truly new.
Sounds like a valuable combination. Okay, as we wrap up, the source leaves us with some really interesting thoughts about spotting future trends.
I do. Really thought-provoking. Suggesting the future is already here. Just subtle. You need curiosity instead of routine. Depth instead of speed. Feeling instead of intellect to see it.
It's not obvious.
No. The new does not shout, it whispers. That's the line they use.
I like that.
Me too. Mm. And spotting those whispers requires a certain mindset. Openness, curiosity, humility, really paying attention, looking beyond the surface. It ends with this lovely invitation to go on a treasure hunt for what's next.
A treasure hunt. That's a fantastic way to frame it. Not waiting for the obvious, but actively searching for those subtle clues to the future.
Exactly. And, well, on that inspiring note, I think that brings us to the end of this deep dive into innovation in football, seen through that tactical analyst lens.
It's been fascinating. Thanks for joining us as we unpack the types of innovation, its origins, its importance in football, the challenges, and those practical ways to encourage it.
Yeah, it's clear that real progress isn't just about small improvements, useful as they are. It's also about daring to think differently, embrace the new, even the slightly weird ideas at first.
Absolutely. Hopefully this gives everyone listening some food for thought. Maybe think about cultivating that inner attitude, that curiosity, that attentiveness, and whatever you do, listen for the whispers.
And maybe consider how these principles apply to your own work, your own challenges. Perhaps look more into things like the Cinefin framework or design thinking that we touched on.
Great suggestion. Till our next deep dive, keep asking questions, keep exploring.
And keep digging deeper.
Gotta slow down before you move. Find the silence, find the groove. Only when the noise is gone can the deeper thoughts come on. Ideas grow when you let them play. Try and fail, that's the way. First you move, then you see. New eyes bring new reality. Change the game, own the vision. Innovation makes the difference, that's precision. Change the game, no permission. Build the future, break tradition. Innovation ain't a solo plan. It's a rhythm, it's a clan. Many voices, many streams, feeding one collective dream. Some will fade, some will shine, some will shape the grand design. But no idea stands alone.
It's the song, not just the tone. The coaches search, the seekers find. In the noise they read the signs, while others wait for the green light. They're already deep in flight. Change the game, own the vision. Innovation makes the difference, that's precision. Change the game, no permission. Build the future, break tradition. You want the fruit, then climb the tree. Don't dig for rot, set your mind free. New ground ain't safe, but it's true. If you wait too long, it won't wait for you. They don't see what they don't expect. Call it luck or just neglect. But those who dare and understand, put the fire in the land. So change the game, hear the call. Small ideas can rise tall. It's not the place, it's how you see it. It's not the path, it's how you be.
We see the game in a brand new light. A pass, a run, a shot on goal. Data brings strengths to make teams whole. Through analysis, insights appear, showing where the team draws near. In this game of numbers and might, football becomes a science of sight. See the game in a brand new light. A pass, a run, a shot on goal. Data brings strengths to make teams whole. Through analysis, insights appear, showing where the team draws near. In this game of numbers and might, football becomes a science of sight.